smile off her face as she sits back and watches the replays that we're going to see over and over again.
Today's Fox Football podcast is brought to you by FIFA 19 Champions Rise. Visit www.futunited.com to find out how you can win Champions League tickets, including flights and accommodation, thanks to FUT United and FIFA 19. Once again, that's futunited.com for details on how you can win Champions League tickets. Now time for the Fox Football podcast with Sam Kerr and Carly Adno.
Welcome, Sam Kerr, to a special podcast, because you're a special guest. You are an absolute superstar. Are you used to being called a superstar by now?
I don't think you ever get used to getting called that. I guess for me it's just, I'm just the same person, and to my friends and family I'm just the same person, so it's a little bit crazy. It's been an enjoyable and crazy last, 24 months.
It's also been a crazy 24 hours. Are you exhausted? The A-League, W-League launch, promos, adverts, how are you coping?
I thought I would feel a lot worse. You know, when you see the amount of stuff you have in a few days, you kind of dread it. But it was actually quite fun, and it's exciting. The A-League and the W-League is around the corner, and it's been good, but I definitely think I'll sleep well the next few days.
And, of course, there's a bit of football to actually squeeze in with the W-League season starting next week. Mm-hmm. When are you going to get time to hit the field again?
So I trained last week, got back into it, and then obviously I've missed the last 2 days. But, you know, my body probably needed it after I'd come back into a hard week, and, my body was feeling it after 2 weeks off. Yeah. So I'll jump back into training tomorrow morning, I'll be in with the team completely normal, hopefully ready for round one.
Just on the launch, it was the joint A-League, W-League launch. FFA have been really good at, you know, promoting the women's game and the men's game together. Having you as the face of the W-League, having Casey Kahonda as the face of the A-League. Are you enjoying that side of things and how the women's game is being promoted so well the last few years?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think from whenever I can remember, the A-League and the W-League awards have always been launched together. Mm. Maybe not. A few years they have been, last year I don't think they were, but the year before they were.
Yeah, last year was a bit more low-key.
Yeah, but then the year before that we were together. So there's been a few things where, you know, it's been sometimes together, sometimes not. But, yeah, of course I enjoy it. I think it's both the leagues can leverage each other, and I think there's great players in the A-League and great players in the W-League. So I think as a collective it's a good look for FFA and it's a good look for both the leagues. And, you know, it's always good to chat with the guys. You know, you see them around the club sometimes, but you don't really get to have one-on-one conversations. So they're really welcoming and they're really excited about the W-League and the A-League, and same with us. So it's good that, you know, FFA's got behind the whole collective, you know, one team kind of thing at FFA.
We saw such a great clip of yourself and Casey K doing a bit of football drills together. What was it like meeting him? How do you regard him?
Oh, he was a nice guy, actually. I wasn't sure about how much English he spoke, but he spoke really, really, really well. When he got up on the stage, he didn't speak as well, but I think that's because he was a bit nervous. Yeah. But when it was just me and him, he spoke really, really well. We just juggled. And, you know, you just meet someone, you don't really know too much about them. But, he was a nice guy.
You're the W League's first marquee player. Mm-hmm. Does that come with any sort of pressure?
There's definitely no pressure as in playing wise. I think the reason I thought I really earned the marquee, and it's something I'm really proud of, and I think that it has no impact on me going forward. I think, you know, there's definitely more pressure for me to be a better role model, a better person, a better teammate, but no pressure, to play or score more goals or do that. And obviously that's what I want to do, but the pressure doesn't come from, you know, signing a marquee deal. I've always put a lot of pressure on myself to play well, and nothing will change this year. And, it just makes me think about, you know, how I can grow the women's game more and more. And my teammates have been really supportive and haven't put any more pressure on me, so that's always nice.
Yeah. How do you feel you can continue to grow the women's game?
Oh, there's honestly, lots of things. I think the biggest thing is, you know, get more exposure for the game. And I think not only myself, but the whole of the Matildas has helped that in the last year or two. I think FFA, Fox Sports, all those people have done a really good job to get the games shown every week, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But it's not just in Australia, it's all over the world. And I think we see that a lot. All the women's game needs is more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working that way, but people want to relate with their, you know, their favourite athlete or their idol or whatnot. And I think the Matildas do a really good job of that, of being, I guess, accessible relatable, and you know fans by name. So it's a really cool thing.
How does it compare to soccer in the States?
On the field or off the field?
Both.
So on the field, it's obviously, I don't think the W League's far behind. Yeah. All the Aussie girls that go over to the US do really well. They stand out. There's not one player that plays over there that doesn't do well in their team.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, on the field, the only difference is that everyone is full-time there. So you can imagine, you know, how much more you can put into the game when you're a full-time professional athlete. Mm-hmm. And I think that just makes the gap between, you know, the best player and maybe your youngest or your least advanced player on the field, it makes the gap much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the USA, the gap between the best player and maybe your 22nd player is much smaller,
right.
And every single person is fighting for a spot. And I think that's where the W League can grow, is that people in the W League kind of are sometimes okay to just sit on the bench because that's where they think they, you know, should be. And in the USA, there's no, you know, no one thinks that they should be on the bench. Every single player, no matter who you are, is fighting for a position, which makes the standard really big. But I also believe if City went over there, that'd be, you know, one of the better teams over there. Yeah. So
City in particular.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, City at their best, Sydney FC this year, Perth Glory when we were at our best. We haven't been the last few years, but, you know, when teams are at their best, they definitely could go with the big guns over there. But off the field, the American fans are just, they're a few years ahead of Australian fans, and that's not in a bad way, it's just they've been exposed to so much more.
Yeah.
And they've obviously won World Cups, and the media in America is insane. So the girls are like rock stars over there, and all of the girls, not just one or two. And it's
including yourself.
not me so much, but it's just a different world. And Australia's getting there, like it really is. The Penrith game showed that, but the Americans have just had a little bit more of a taste for it.
How much further away is the Australian game from becoming fully professional, do you think?
It's a difficult question because you don't want to compete with the big leagues like the NWSL and the European leagues too early, and then that be a detriment to the W League. And I think what we have going on right now is a really good thing, where it's kind of that off-season league where players want to come to. So I think, you know, first of all, you have to get a home and away series, and then, you know, a longer final series, maybe an expansion. There's different steps you have to take, but I still think a few years off. But I think what we have going is really good for the league. It invites people to want to come and play off season, and they're good players. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just anyone.
Yeah.
They're really, really good players. So I think it's that it's a really weird situation. Like, do you want to compete with them, or do you want to stay
as you are,
as we are,
like incorporate everyone, yeah,
and be kind of like the Big Bash? Like, the Big Bash is huge in Australia, and everyone wants to come, but it doesn't go all season round like the Indian League.
Yeah, and it has a huge impact over that period.
Yeah, and that's a really cool thing about the W League.
But I mean, I know that you're not the only one who thinks the season should be longer. But just on that note, I mean, I don't think people realise just how many games you play a season. So if you did have to extend that W League season, when on earth would you get any sort of break?
Well, there's no break now anyway, so might as well extend it. But yeah, I think that's the challenge for women footballers. It's when do you get the break, and when do you have time away from the game, which is important. But yeah, it's a question that I can't really answer. I guess I haven't had a break in, or I just had a short break, but girls haven't had breaks. We haven't had breaks in 3 years. And there comes a time where you need it, and getting injured isn't a break. People think, oh, you've had 9 months out of the game, but you're doing more when you're injured. Rehab is way harder than being a fit, healthy player.
Yeah.
So it is difficult, but, you know, that's why I'm a football player and not a someone that works in the office organising these things, because I can't deal with all that stuff.
But just, I mean, looking ahead to the World Cup next year, is there any concern about managing the workload leading up to the World Cup?
I think it's, I don't think it's a concern, but it's definitely on the radar. And yeah. I think Stad showed that by giving certain girls breaks. And it's really important for girls to go in refreshed. And I think there is a plan to work things out with certain girls. And look, some girls don't want a break. Some girls want to be, play football, 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 and that's fine. That's, everyone's different. But I think, you know, our medical staff is awesome. We have like a psychologist who works with us who's awesome, and there's so many things for us to voice our opinions, and that's kind of how our break came about just recently. So hopefully, you know, the girls get what they need. I wouldn't mind taking another week or two to just kind of completely shut off, because World Cup and Olympics is the most intense time, and after the World Cup's finished or the Olympics is finished, you kind of, you know, take a deep breath and you're like, okay, that's over now. It's a really, really stressful time. And yes, it's the best time of your life, but it's also work, and it's stressful. So hopefully we can go in really excited to be there rather than be on a break after it.
Yeah. Did you feel like you benefited now from this little rest?
Yeah, I did, but it's only 2 weeks. Yeah. So that's like, for me, a break would be 4 weeks of doing nothing on a beach. And I only found out 2 weeks before my break, or 3 weeks. So it's too late to book holidays. Family, friends can't go away. So it was definitely nice to just wake up in the morning and have nothing on.
Yeah.
But, you know, before the first week's, like after the first week's over, you've got to start thinking about the next week, which is back into training after that. So I would like longer, but I'm so, so grateful that I got time to just relax and turn my phone off for a bit and just chill.
Bliss. talk about your season in the States for Chicago. It was your first season with Chicago, but you still were the top goal scorer for the season.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel more settled over there?
At the start, like, I hate change. I hate changing anything in my life. it's just how I am. And, you know, I really wanted a change out of Jersey, and I knew I needed to, but I could have stayed if it wasn't for what was going on there. So I didn't feel like I'm very shy when I first meet people, and I guess I didn't feel comfortable for a while, and I didn't score. I think I scored in my second game and then my third game, and then I didn't score for 5 games. But then I kind of just felt comfortable, got to know everyone, people started to get to know me, and then I just went on a scoring spree.
Again.
Yeah, and I scored 16 goals, but the year before I scored 17, but the 17 felt like the hardest 17 goals of my life.
Really?
Whereas the 16 this year were not easy, but, you know, it didn't feel like I'd scored 16 goals.
Why? And what was the difference?
I think I just had, like, a lot more support behind me. The team was – I love the girls at Sky Blue, but the team at Chicago was just a lot smarter, a lot, I guess, better. And I just felt like I had to do less, which I guess is – awesome to be a part of. You are the striker that kind of just finishes it off. So it was much easier playing in Chicago, and I didn't feel like I had to beat 4 players to score. It was kind of, you know, but yeah, I was kind of mad that I ended up missing those 5 games at the start for the Asian Cup, because I thought I would have, you know, beat that record, and I nearly beat it in the last game. I needed one more goal. But yeah, that's life, and I really enjoyed it.
It's tricky for all Australian players, even like the men having to break their seasons for the Asian Cup, and you're also going away for the Asian Cup. Does that does it irk the clubs at all?
I'd be lying if I said no, but my club was really good.
Yeah.
It's a unique situation at Chicago. He always believes country over club.
Okay. That's a refreshing approach.
Yeah, yeah, but he also pays – they also pay my wages.
Yeah.
So it's difficult because, you know, they're paying all this money for someone to be not there.
Yeah.
And especially when they're people you build your team around. And we had people like Julie Ertz injured for the first bit from national team camp, and he can understand because he doesn't pay her wages, US Soccer does, but he builds his team around someone like Julie. So it is difficult, but I know other clubs are a lot tougher.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they do get annoyed, but at the same time, US Soccer runs the NWSL, so they have no say because they can't take the US players and not let the Australians go.
Fair enough, not
let the Brazilians go. Yeah. So their hands are tied, but as long as we come back healthy. Okay. If we come back injured,
then all around. It's
next,
a problem.
Next international break, if we leave early, it's like we came back injured last time.
It's tricky.
And my coach will always message me and be like, couldn't your coach have taken you off at halftime and so you're fresh for the weekend? I'm like, But yeah, he's good, my coach.
And I can imagine Stadge having a few things to say from the other side also.
You know what? It actually, Stadge will message and say, you know, good game or, you know, not so good game or what he wants me to work on. But he kind of stays out of it. Okay. I don't even think he deals with the club. I think it's normally Vito, our team manager.
Right,
So Vito does all the dirty work, you know. He's the most underrated player on our team.
Just talk about all these awards also. Congrats on the recent Ballon d'Or nomination. How does it feel to be, you know, one of the first nominees for this prestigious award?
Yeah, it's awesome. I think it's a huge honour. I think it's pretty cool to be named next to all those players. Some of them I look up to. Some of them are some of my favourite female players. But it's awesome that there's just an award. It seems ridiculous that after all these years they're just putting a female award when it just seems so easy to just, you know, put together a group of three people and they can announce the award. And I guess it's a really huge step for women's football and just shows how much the game's grown in the last few years.
Well, it should be an easy thing to do, but for some reason you keep getting overlooked for the main award. Do you read too much into those?
Not really. Like, at the end of the day, like, football's just a game of opinions. Yeah. And, like, I have a different opinion to you and most other people. But I think the thing that makes everyone mad is just the way it's done. There's just not enough exposure in women's football, and I think it becomes a popularity over performance.
Yeah.
And that's what upsets people. And all those three are definitely deserving and had good years, and maybe some people that didn't get nominated, like Peniel Harder, maybe deserve to be there. But I'm sure, you know, things will change and things will get better. But at the end of the day, it's only an individual award.
Yeah. Does the fact that it's Australia have anything to do with it? I mean, we saw Riley McGree also overlooked for the Puskás Award. If he had been playing for a different country, do you reckon he may have won that?
I definitely think so. I mean, I don't think it's like people like we hate Australia. Yeah. I think it's just Australia isn't seen as a footballing nation. And that's just life, you know, that's just how it is. And that's why I think it's a really cool thing that the Matildas are doing so well, that we can prove people wrong. And we have players out there that are proving that we can be the best players in the world. But, you know, that's life. You're never going to be able to change everyone's opinion. And at the end of the day, it's an individual award, but hopefully, you know, our national teams can start doing better and winning World Cups, and then they can really start to listen to what we're doing.
Well, you're a real chance of winning the World Cup next year. What did you obviously watch from the sidelines these last two friendlies in Europe against France and England? What did you make of those results, and did the results come at a good time before the World Cup?
Yeah, I think, you know, they were good games. They definitely got challenged in a way we haven't been challenged in a few years, and maybe apart from the US. But I guess I've been reading a bit about it, and, you know, I watched the games, and we only lost 2-0 to France in, what, the 88th minute they scored their second goal. And we had five players out. Liz has been the captain multiple times this year. Lana's played every game. Emily's nearly played every game. And I've obviously been in the team. So if you take five players out of any team, if you take Paul Pogba, you take all the players out of the French team, it's going to drop off. So I actually thought it was a good experience for the girls. I think the young girls got a run. They got to experience European football because it's different. It's a different game plan. And to tie against England, tough conditions, and they're the third place ranked team in the world. If the Socceroos tied against England,
it would be huge.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We'd be having parties. You know, like, that's just how it is. And it's a cool thing. Like, we've got high expectations. But the girls tied against England, and that's probably going to keep us in a seeded position for the World Cup, which is huge for us. It's massive.
Yeah. Can you win the World Cup?
Yes. 100%. I think we've shown that. USA, you know, has, you know, smashed everyone they've played in the last 3, 4, 5, 10 years, and they've really found it hard against us, and they're going to be the best team to beat. But there's so many other teams, France, you know, Brazil, we've showed we can go with, England, we've tied with, you know, six players missing. We had Kaya on the bench. We had so many players out. We had three girls that had played less than three games for the Matildas in there. Yeah. So I think we're on track. I think it was a good learning curve and just showed, like, kind of brought us back down to earth. You got a long way to go. And, but yeah, I think it's what the girls needed, as well as, you know, giving them a bit of confidence going into the next round of games.
And obviously before that, there's these friendlies against Chile in Penrith and Newcastle. Last time around, they were incredible games against Brazil. Looks like they're both tracking to be sellouts again. How impressed were you by those games against Brazil, and how do you reckon these ones will go?
Yeah, I think those games changed women's football in Australia, so that was an amazing week. It's kind of all a blur because everything happened so fast, and you know, to play against Brazil twice and win twice and, you know, have Marta, now six-time World Player of the Year, was an amazing draw card. So you're kind of worried about Chile if you would draw as big a crowd, but I found out yesterday that tickets are selling at a better rate than last year. So that just shows the support we have behind us. Yeah. And we all can't wait. We love that. Was probably the best week of our lives in the Matildas. So we can't wait. We loved Penrith. It's an awesome stadium to play at for women's football.
Yeah.
Newcastle outdid it. So it's a little bit of competition going between the Newcastle girls and the Sydney girls in our team. So, yeah, and Chile's not going to be easy. They've got it. They bring a different style of football and unknown, which is always difficult.
Yeah. Just a reminder that today's Fox Football podcast is brought to you by FIFA 19 Champions Rise. Show us your champion moment for your chance to win Champions League tickets, including flights and accommodation, thanks to FUT United and FIFA 19. Terms and conditions apply. See www.futunited.com for details. That's futunited.com. Quickly back to the W League. You obviously made the decision to come back home to Perth, but I'm assuming you had offers from elsewhere. Did you entertain any of those?
Yeah, I honestly, while I was in the W League last year, it was reported, I was talking to PSG, I was talking to all different clubs. And I think the cool thing about it is lots of clubs reached out, but I had cut it down to two certain clubs and just wanted to really make, you know, a decision based on my football. And maybe I was just being naive, or I don't know, I just kind of cut out the W League. I was never coming back. So, I don't even know why. I think it was just, I just felt the pressure of, everyone's got to do Europe at some point. And then I didn't even think about the World Cup or those things. It was kind of far away, and just thought, I'm going to go to Europe and do the whole Europe thing. And then realised, you know, once I thought about it all, that the World Cup was the most important thing. So coming home was probably the best idea.
Okay. Do you still see yourself going to Europe at some stage?
Oh, 100%. But, you know, I said 2 years ago I was going to go to PSG. I said this year I was going to go, you know, to Europe. And it's never happened. So I'm not going to put when on it. You know, this year the World Cup's coming up and next year the Olympics coming up. So I could be back here again, but, you know.
we hope so.
Yeah, you never know. And I love, the biggest draw card for me, I guess Perth's kind of lucky, and I'm lucky, is that my family's in Perth.
Must be huge given you're away from home
for so many months. Everyone knows me as a homebody. Yeah. So when a few W League clubs this year reached out to me and just said, you know, do you want to come play? We would really love to have you. And I feel a bit rude, but it's just sorry, no, without even hearing what they want to say.
I guess why would you when you've got a home club?
Yeah, and I'm really lucky to play at Glory. I'm really well looked after there. And, I love the club, so it's good to be back.
Awesome. It's good to have you as the first female marquee.
Thank you.
I just have a few quick questions, quick fire questions. So what are you most excited about heading into this W League season?
Yeah, I guess for me I'm most excited about, you know, earning back that Glory is a good team. We kind of had a disappointing year last year, so kind of proving people wrong that we can be a top four team, and I love the challenge of trying to break back into the finals. It's always fun and a lot more rewarding when you do it.
Okay, cool. Who's the team to beat this season without there is an obvious team, I guess.
Yeah, I guess City, but you can't really go past Sydney either. They picked up some really, really good players, Chicago players. I'm being biased. So I think Sydney FC recruited really well.
Okay. Who's your most underrated teammate?
On the national team or W League?
W League team.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And I know it's difficult because you girls get very little time to prepare.
Can I say Nikki, or is that weird? Ah, oh, that's a toughie. It probably honestly would be Nikki. Like, yeah, she just, like, defensive midfielders always in your team are underrated. Like, I always like, the underrated players.
They do so much of the hard work, yeah.
Yeah, rarely do they get credit for what they do. And when she broke her arm last year, that's kind of where our season went down, so it's all her fault. But, yeah, I think
Have you told her that?
Yes, definitely. But I got injured at the same time, and then, it was just, but I think the spine of your team, so Kimmy Carroll obviously does a great job for us. But, yeah, I think her and Kimmy Carroll and Nikki really hold the team together, and they're the spine of the team.
Okay. Who is the toughest player for you to come up against?
Steph Catley.
Really?
Yeah. I think Steph's the best left back in the world, and not just because she's my teammate.
Yeah.
I've thought she's going to be amazing since she was, you know, 15. I don't think I've ever seen her have a bad game. She's awesome to play with, really vocal, really positive, and I don't know, I guess, she's just a really great player. And, you know, sometimes when a defender does something to annoy you, you kind of, that's how you get back at them, but she just never does anything. She's just so nice, and she does well in the NWSL, but I think she's one of the best left backs, if not the best in the world.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
What are your hopes for the season? W League.
Win it.
Yep.
I wouldn't be here if I wasn't going to win it. Going to try.
Okay. We know so much about you and you've done so many interviews, but is there anything you can tell us about yourself that we don't know?
Well, I don't know. I'm pretty, I don't know. Well, what do people not know?
We know everything.
You know everything. people know I hate flying. I hate hair and makeup.
Do you?
Oh.
You must have had a nightmare for your days.
Yeah, nah. Like, if they do it nice, it's fine, but not too much. But I think, I don't know, people see this side of me that's, like, really out there and crazy, but I think when people don't realise it, when I first meet people, I'm really shy and quiet and quite, like, not introvert, because I'm definitely an extrovert. You know, I'm a little bit shyer than people think, and I don't know. And people always say to me that they think I'm different. Like, when they meet me, they're like, you're so different than when you're in the field. I'm like, but I must be a psycho on the field.
No, but I think that's pretty normal for most, most players. You can't really be the same on and off the field, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah. Some people are.
Okay.
KK.
Cool.
Mr. Cool.
All right. Thank you so much,
Sarah. No worries.
Thanks for joining us, and good luck for the season.
Perfect. Cool.